Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel. Links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise God, church. I also want to just say thank you again to all the people that helped and made VBS a success. I thank you for all that. And it's a lot of work and all that, but glory to God, I know that children's lives are sowed into and blessed, and we like winning kids, amen? Yeah. Rescuing orphans and winning children. So get your Bibles out this morning. Yeah. Oh, you can do better than that, church. Get your Bibles out this morning. Yeah. Thank you. Should be excited about going to the Word of God. And just, let's go. Oh, just start open to the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 32. It's going to take me a while to get there. Hope everybody had a wonderful 4th of July yesterday. So, I have a message, kind of a 4th of July message, kind of part of what happened last week. If you weren't here for last week's message, the title of it was No Way, No How. And I encourage you, go listen to it on iTunes or any podcast network. I listened to it myself just because I just wanted to see, you know, sometimes I say things that I don't think about, and then I get back and I listen to it, and I was like, oh, my Lord, I can't believe I said that. But it excited me the second time I heard it. And it's just really good about where we are in today in our world and what's going on. Amen. So the title of this message today is Freedom, Not Comfort. Freedom, not comfort. You see, if you go and I kind of just got to work into this message. If y'all are guests here this morning and you've never heard me preach, I just kind of got to ramble a little bit till I hit pay dirt, and then we'll run down that line here this morning, because I got a lot of things I want to say, and I want to seem like I'm intelligent saying it, like I have this all put together great. And that's a hard thing for me to do. You know, I'm just kind of country, and I just kind of like to throw it all out there and, you know, see how it hits. But anyway, we celebrated our independence yesterday. We celebrated, this country's independence from Britain. And I began to just do a little research, you know, and it's just funny. To me, I am like the worst researcher on the internet. I don't know why I'm not user-friendly. I get the craziest stuff. I just want to search something, and I get the dumbest stuff comes up. I mean, it's like, I don't know if the way I talk or type things in or whatever, but anyway. So I started doing this, and I was actually laughing because I was hitting some pretty good stuff for a change. I typed in, why did we have the American Revolution? You know, just want to see what it come up with. Why did we have the American Revolution? What was the internet? What was the world's stance on what we were going to say is why we had a revolution, right? And so anyway, I came up with this article. It was actually on the North Carolina's website, of their state government's website, and I want to read it to you, okay? So y'all just bear with me a little bit. Let me just read this to you. Why the American Revolution? It said, by 1774, the year leading up to the American Revolutionary War, trouble was brewing in America. Parliament, England's Congress, had been passing laws placing taxes on the colonists in America. There had been the Sugar Act of 1764, the Stamp Act, which followed after that, and a variety of other laws that were meant to get money from the colonists for Great Britain. The colonists did not like these laws. Now, this is their website. I'm just reading it from this. I was actually laughing because it's written so simply. It's like, I can understand all this, but it was like American Revolution 101, right? Great Britain was passing these laws because the French and Indian War, which had ended in 1763. That war, which had been fought in North America, left Great Britain with a huge debt, had not been paid. Parliament said it had fought the long and costly war to protect its American subjects from the powerful French in Canada. Parliament said it was right to tax the American colonists to help pay the bills for the war. Isn't it interesting? It's about money. They always say, just follow the money if you want to figure out what's going on. Just follow the money, right? Okay, here we go. Most Americans disagreed. They believed that England had fought the expensive war mostly to strengthen its empire and increase its wealth, not to benefit its American subjects. Also, Parliament was elected by people living in England, and the colonists felt that the lawmakers living in England could not understand the colonists' needs. Sounds real familiar to me, you know, like we keep electing people, sending them to Washington that are supposed to be looking out for our needs, and I don't know what they're drinking up there. The colonists felt that since they did not take part in voting for its members of Parliament in England, they were not represented in Parliament. So Parliament did not have the right to take their money by imposing taxes. No taxation without representation became the American rally cry. Money. In 1774, much of the unrest had calmed down, especially the southern colonists. Most North Carolinians, like I said, this came from their website, so they kind of get into North Carolina, but it was good. Most North Carolinians carried on their daily lives on farms, raising crops, tending their herds. Cities and shopkeepers were still working, cooking and sewing and performing dozens of other occupational tasks. They did not often think about the King of England nor his royal governor in North Carolina. But beneath this calm surface, there were problems. Just 3 years earlier, the great Almanac Creek 2000, the Tar Heel farmers called Regulators led an uprising of the largest armed rebellion in the England colony to the time. It goes on, it talks about the war that they, the skirmish that they had had. This is another interesting thing. Let me get down to this. Another problem beneath the surface calm lay with the large African-American Indian population. Many of the two groups hated their low positions in the society dominated by powerful whites. Some white colonists believed that if the war with England broke out, these other Tar Heels would support the king in hopes of gaining more control over their own lives. So there was a racial conflict at the time. Are y'all with me? So anyway, it goes on and talks about the colonists and the Tea Party and the whatever. But the thing is, I read that article. What struck me so funny was the similarities between what we feel now and where we are in the world and what took place at the start of the American Revolution, where, you know, the people, that there was a separation between the people and their beliefs and the government and their beliefs. Are y'all with me? The only thing that was different was that at that time, the government was England, not Washington. And so I talked last week some about the new law of the land, so to say, about same-sex marriages and what's going on. And I talked about the Bible and I talked about all that. But as I begin to just dwell on all this and think about it all week and talk to other ministers and just trying to ask God to just keep me enlightened so that I can lead y'all into the right path, this started to rise up on the inside of me. I'm proud to be an American. Now, I want y'all to understand this, okay? I'm proud to live in America. This country has done more for the world than any country in the world. We're the only country that goes to war for other nations expecting nothing in return. We're the only country that's ever stood up to the bullies of this world and said, we're not going to let you do that, bottom line, okay? And we did that so that people could have freedom and they could have liberty. And all of us sitting in here this morning because of what the colonists did back in that day in the Revolution and other wars ever since, there has given us a freedom, a religious freedom. I actually heard a person say the other day that it was not the preachers who gave us religious freedom, it was soldiers who gave us religious freedom. And that's a lot of truth in that. And we stand here today because of a nation who is willing to sacrifice for freedom. Not just our freedom, but other people's freedom. Are y'all with me? But if you take freedom and you begin to use freedom for only your own comfort, what happens is you end up going back into bondage. And I'm going to use it, and I'm in Exodus 32 right here, about Israel. Israel was sitting there, and Israel had been a slave and had been in bondage for 130 years. They'd been there in Egypt, and they became slaves. I don't think we can understand that. When we wake up in the mornings, no matter if you're have a job, you're employed by someone, or you're self-employed, we wake up in the mornings, and we leave our homes to go and to do business, to earn income, to bring the income home, to then put it into our lives and do whatever we want to with our lives and direction of how we're going to go with our lives. Hello? Is that not right? That's the basis of what we're doing. And we do all of that because we're doing it because we want to be comforted. I don't know about y'all, but I like comfort. I don't like to be inconvenienced. I like comfort. I like my air conditioner to work. I'm glad we have electricity. I'm glad we have indoor plumbing. And now there's a certain part because, you know, we're country folk. It was so hilarious. Yesterday I was in San Antonio and I was going to pick up my wife and I had to walk in a Walmart. And I hadn't been in this one before. And it was in San Antonio. And I walk in there and I have my hat on and I just look like I do now. And I'm walking through the store and people literally were stopping bagging groceries, looking at me like I was an alien. Just as I walked by, they were like, you could hear me. I said, what is that? I was like, I started laughing. I just wanted to stop and turn around. Stop looking at me. I'm not strange. Y'all are. There's nothing wrong with me. But I have the liberty and I have the freedom to dress as I want to, right? And I dress the way that I want to be, right? And the comfort that I want to be, and I am who I want to be. Y'all with me? I have the liberty to do that, the freedom to do that, the freedom to come here to church this morning, the freedom to read my Bible, the freedom to preach the gospel. As long as y'all are willing to show up in here and listen to me, then I got a job to keep preaching. Y'all with me? Well, Israel, here they are, they're bondages, they're slaves. I can't imagine what it would be like to wake up every morning and know that I have to go out and do something for somebody else that I'm not going to get paid for, that I'm not going to get anything for, that I have to do that because I'm a slave. And then what it's like to come home to my house and be with my family and try to get something to eat in that bondage and oppression, knowing that my children are going to grow up, and they're going to be slaves, and they're going to have to go out and make bricks. And knowing that's disheartening to me. That would be, I mean, I want my children to achieve anything that they want in life. Y'all with me? I can't understand it. I can't fathom it. But what happens to Israel is God delivers them, right? They cry out to God. They get delivered. They go out, Red Sea parts, they're all free. And you know how long their deliverance lasted? Not long. I mean, to put it in a perspective, when God gets Moses to Mount Sinai and he's got the people there, and I can't say exactly how long it was from the time they left Egypt till they got to Sinai. I imagine I could have looked it up and found it, but I didn't think about that. But when Moses goes up on the mountain and God starts speaking to him, it's just 40 days. Just 40 days. When he came back down the mountain, that all of Israel had already made another god and was worshiping a golden calf. So if you let me say it that like this, they only lasted 40 days. They got free. They got freedom. But it only lasted them 40 days because they put themselves back into bondage. And what I'm here today to tell you is there's been too much bloodshed. There's been too much wars gone on to win us freedom for us to go back and put ourselves in bondage. I don't want to live in bondage. I want to live free. I don't want to be in bondage to ice cream. Hey, you know, God bless Bluebell. They're not here. They're not in the stores anymore. But you know, I didn't have withdrawals. Everybody keeps saying, "How you doing? You doing okay?" The truth of the matter is, I quit eating ice cream about 2 years ago. I haven't eaten any because you know why? I was in bondage to it. It was my main source of comfort food. And I said, no, I ain't going to be in bondage to anything. So I quit. Hadn't eaten any. It's the truth. You see it from the head shake of my wife. But the point I'm trying to say is, folks, anytime that you start taking your freedom and you only focus on using it for your comfort, you're going to go end up back in bondage. And what America is doing right now is America is trying to give everybody the comfort and everything that they want. And in doing so, they have forsaken everything that has any, has any value, has any right, has any righteousness to it. And what's happened is they're going back into bondage. Now, I want you to turn to Psalms 107. Verse 1. Y'all just hold on because I want to read a little bit more here. Psalms 107, verse 1. It says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Now, listen to what it says. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You're the redeemed. So what you're supposed to be saying is, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endures forever, right? "Whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted in them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He satisfies the longing souls and fills the hungry souls with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in afflictions and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress and brought them out of darkness into the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. He has broken the gates of bronze. He's cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distress and sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing." It's the same story. Deliverance, freedom, taking the freedom, using it for their own comfort, using it for whatever they want to do, using it for their excuse to do whatever they want to do. Boom, back into bondage. Oh, bondage, bondage, bondage. Oh, God, deliver me. Oh, here we go. God hears their cry, delivers them, takes them up here, gets them out of the problem. They stay out of the problem for a while. Oh, boom, they go back down. Now they're in bondage again. And they can only take bondage so long. Then they cry out to the Lord, and He delivers them. We don't want that to be our story. Hello? We don't want that to be our story. Have you ever noticed, though? Let's just bring it down to our level. Have you ever noticed how you're really trying really, really hard to, discipline yourself somehow in life and be more Christ-like? You're going to love your neighbor. You come up with it that morning, the Holy Ghost pricks your heart of somebody you've got unforgiveness towards. You say, "Lord, I don't want to be like that. I just want to forgive them. I just ask You to forgive me, Lord. I don't want to get right with You." And then you just feel so good because you really did it and you're all right. And then there's another yahoo comes up, it seems like not the next day comes up and does something that then you got to get right with them. And it's this constant test. Oh, man, it's just like whoop, 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 whoop. Are y'all with me? It's the same thing that we're living in our lives. We're trying to serve the Lord and go right, and then we're doing pretty good, but then we fall down and we get up, and we fall down and we get up. But the problem with Israel was is they just went whole hog the other way. And we don't usually go to making idols and golden calves in our backyard, right? But in our heart, it's the same situation where we're struggling and we're trying to go forward and all that. The best thing would be an even-keeled course, steady and steadfast all the way, right? Okay, but we find ourselves today in America, in this land, this great land that we live in, this place of religious freedom, and then all of a sudden, what we've stood for and what we've, you know, it's just been a little bit at a time being eroded away. And then all of a sudden now we get a big matzo ball thrown right in our face. I mean, just chunked out there, splatted on the wall. The federal government telling us that what your Bible says is not right. And it's pretty black and white. It's not like it's a gray area. It's not like them coming down and saying, listen, it's the decision of the federal government that, you know, we think that you should really only sprinkle, not immerse during baptism. You know, it's not something that it's kind of, you know, kind of areas that, you know, kind of gray that you should serve communion every time you meet, not just once a Sunday or once a month or, you know, it's a big one. Are y'all with me? So this week I've listened to the radio and I've listened to, different talk shows and different people and television and read articles because I want to see what's the consensus of the world. And there's one thing that's really disappointed me. I've heard a lot of Christians coming out in a lot of anger and a lot of hate and a lot of bashing. And it's really disturbed me because I want to tell you something. The moment you enter into that realm, you've actually lost. And so one of the things this morning that I want to get straight here at Living Waters Church is that's not where we're going. I want to show you a better way. Or I don't want to show you a better way. A way that we're not judges nor executioners, that we're pioneers, because we know how to pioneer. Your ancestors came into these valleys because they were pioneers. Some of them may have been running from the law, but, you know, they were pioneers. A pioneer is simply this, the person who runs through the brush first. Huh? How about that? That's all a pioneer is, the person who runs through the cedar break first, runs through the brush first. That's all a pioneer is. All right? You may have been chased and running, but no matter what, the guy that got there first, that was the pioneer. Y'all with me? So go to Gospel of John chapter 14. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remain and take the stance and celebrate America as a great country that's done a lot, that has been victorious and is a great nation, and I'm going to do what a pioneer does. I'm going to stand in the middle of the road and say, do not go down that direction, because if you go down that direction, there's nothing there but bad. I'm going to stand in the middle of the road and say, we've got to go. Come on, guys, we've got to go this way. This is the right direction. Don't go that away, and don't go that away. We got to stay going the right way. I don't want to argue with people. I'm not going to be the judge or the executioner. I'm going to be the one who shows the way. I'm going to be the pioneer. I just want to be able to stand up to people and say, look, I can tell you what to do because Jesus said to me in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I'm going to stand in the middle of the road and hold up my Bible and say, I got it right here. I got the answer. I know the way. I know the truth. I know the life. His name's Jesus. This is what we're supposed to do. Come on, folks. Let's go down this way. You don't want to go down there. It's nothing but bondage. You've got freedom. Don't give it up for bondage. You got freedom right now. Come on. Come on down the road. Get out of the bar ditch. Come on. Get out of there. Don't do that. Get up. Get, come on. Shh. Hey, let's go. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I want you to do. I want you to be pioneers. I want you as a church to be the people who stand up in the middle of the road and wave their arms and say, no, don't go down there. If you go down that road, it's going to be bad. Not be the people that say, we ought to go over there and everybody going down that road, we ought to beat the out of them. Because that don't get you nowhere. It's that we're directing people, we're helping people, we're standing up saying, hey, this is a way, come on. Here, it says it right here in the Bible. God's got a way, he's got a place to bring you abundant life. He wants to bring you victory, he wants to bring you life, and this is where life is. It's in serving him, come on. Our job is to show people the way. That's what our job is. Our job is not to walk around and point out sin. Our job is to tell people what the Word says. Our job is to hold up the Bible and say, this is it. This is the answer. I'm a Christian. And listen, being a Christian works. And if you look at my life, this is where I was. I was in bondage, and now I've been set free. That's all we're supposed to do. If America starts sliding off, I'm still going to be standing on the road, headed to heaven, headed in the right direction. If it starts sliding off, I'm not going to jump up and say, oh, God. Because the one that I believe in, he's still in charge. I don't have to chew all my fingernails off and wring my hands all the time saying, oh, gosh. It doesn't make any difference. I'm going to win. I'm going the right direction, and I'm going to take y'all with me. I'm going to be standing up, leading the path, saying, oh, don't go down that. Don't go down over there. If you get down over there, it's just a mud hole. You're going to get stuck. Now, what happens if they go down the road and they get stuck? They get stuck. If so be, I need to throw them a rope. I'll throw them a rope and let them crawl out of the mud and come on and get back up on the road. But truth of the matter is, I got to keep pointing people down the road. I one time saw a young man when we were just kids in school. And you know those old big rat traps, you know, the wooden big rat traps? He got one of those things and said that he believed that he could put his fingers in there and touch the rat trap and get it out before it snapped on his fingers. And I said, you can't. You can't do it. I said, it's too quick. You'll get your finger. No, I really believe I can. I said, I'm telling you, you can't. He said, no, I think I can. And I said, well, if you want to try, you try. But I'm telling you, it ain't going to work. Well, he tried, and it didn't work. And what did I say to him? I told you so. Sometimes in life, people don't have enough sense. You just have to let them get caught in their mess, and then you have to say, I told you so. Now you want me to help you get out of there? Jesus will set you free. Here, come to our freedom prayer. Get free. Why is God right now stirring within our own body here about freedom prayer? It's because people are in bondage and they need to get free. We got people out there standing there saying, woo, let's come on, get you free. Because we get caught in bondage. Listen to me, folks. Sin is sin. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Sin is sin. I heard a preacher say that, and I can't remember exactly the scripture he was quoting, but he said that there was, because like this part stuck out to me, that when it starts listing sins, that it says homosexuality, comma, liars, comma, you know, it goes on. But in the Greek language, there's no commas. We put those in there in English to separate it. So truthfully, there's no separation between homosexualities and liars, not even a comma. The only thing that separates it's the comma, but there really is no comma. It's all sin. Oh, that was a good point. What I'm trying to tell y'all this morning is we get all up in arms about something, but there's other things that are 1,000 times more damaging going on that nobody says anything about. The reason why is because people aren't using this as their standard. Man, you cannot find where you are on a map unless you know where you are. A map does you no good if you don't know where you are. Hello? You got to know where you are. You got to have a foundational point. That's what this is all about. If you know what the Bible says and you have a foundational point, you have the Bible, it's there, then you can be able to go anywhere you want to go because you know what the Word says. You've got a foundational point, boom, in your life. But when you remove this or change it or put any additions or subtractions to it, well then, folks, I want to tell you something, you're lost because you have no course, no place to be the mark in your life. What people need to hear right now, what the world needs to hear right now, is not mouthing, not anger, not hatred, not finger pointing, not this, not that. What they need to know is, hey, where do you go? Where's the way? Well, it's Jesus. He's the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. That's what they need to know. Let me give you one more scripture here. Matthew 5:13. What does it say? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You're a city set up on a hill. You folks, listen to me, you're the light of Jesus on the inside of you. You're the one to show the way. You are the light to keep the ships from crashing onto the seashore. You are the light to keep the headlights out in front of the car so that they know where they're going. You are the light. If you turn to hatred, you turn to anger, you turn to wrath, you turn to screaming, then you're nobody's going to see your light because it looks just like everybody else's. All sin's wrong. Doesn't make any difference. I don't have to judge anybody. I just go read it in the Bible of what God says we should do. I was laughing. Right in the midst of all this, some group gets together and says they have to take down the Ten Commandments at some state site. Got to tear those Ten Commandments down. We ain't going to have them Ten Commandments up there anymore. I'm like, you know, let's just forget that it came from God. Let's just forget that it, you know, is Jewish heritage. Let's just forget all that. You don't think those 10 things aren't something that we ought to hold up in front of everybody and say, well, you ought to not kill one another. You know, it's not good to sit over the fence and covet what your neighbor's got. You know, it's just not good to go mess around with his wife. And it's just, you know, come on. I mean, you don't think those are just 10 good moral things that a man ought to do in life? I mean, it ain't got no sense. I mean, just stupid gone to seed. People just losing all perception of what's right and wrong. Say, oh, we're going to have the state doing that. We're going to have this. Blah, blah, blah. Folks, just hold the Word of God up. Let's just keep a standard. People are also scared about this. I'm real sorry that people don't believe that the Word of God's true. I'm real sorry that there's other religions that don't believe God's word's true. Because I know it to be true. See, it working in my life. This is what I'm standing on. I have a foundational point. All right? You are the salt and you are the light in this world. And if you turn your salt and your light into anger and wrath, well, then I want to tell you something. We're no better than the rest of them. And right now we stand in this pivotal time in America. We don't want to use all that our servicemen and women have fought and died for over the years to bringing us freedom and liberty, we don't want to use it to go back into bondage. Because let me tell you something, if you get in anger, you're going to end up in bondage. If you get so mad at everything and just can't get anything off your mind but how you hate the government, this and that and the other, you're going to get into bondage. Listen to me, I just love Jesus. I'm going to go on down the road. I'm going to direct as many people as I can towards Him. If they want to keep messing with me and keep pushing me, they may get a fight. But I want to stand up and shine my light, wave my Bible, direct as many people down the road to Jesus as possibly can. When all the dust settles, I'm still going to be standing there. They're not going to get rid of me that easy. They want to pick a fight, well then come on. It's like I said last week, no way, no how am I changing. I know what the Word of God says. I know what it to be truth. I'm not worried. I mean, the Bible's been around for a long time. I'm not real worried that they're going to come in and tell me that my God's wrong. Did you know that there's a scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, you don't have to go there. It's just a, it says that there's more with us than there is with them. And you got to understand, folks, there's more Christians in the world. There's more Christians in the world or in the United States, listen to me, that believe like you do, than you really know, than you really see. There really are more. They really will stand up. They really will hold up their Bibles. There's a lot of good Bible-believing Christians who are clinging to their Bibles and their guns. Y'all aren't just the only ones. All right? There's a bunch of them clinging to their Bibles and clinging to their guns. They're believing God. All right? Don't ever get to feeling like you're isolated. Don't ever get to feeling like you're alone. Don't ever get to feeling like you're just only go to the only crazy church in town. There's a lot of us believe the good news that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? But our job is to be that light. And don't get tainted by hatred and anger. Don't get tainted by anything else in life that would take you off. Make sure that in this day and in this time, you're wise and see what's going on. And don't get caught up in the distraction that's going on so that you're focused over here and not focused on going down the road. Last night, I went to pick my wife up at the airport, and I'm coming home, and it's right at the time. Because we would have made it, but then, you know, God bless the airline. They lost my wife's luggage, and it was never to be found again. And so by the time all the paperwork was filled out and all, we got home late. And by the time we just came over the hill, and we're about out to the 8 Mile here when the last of the fireworks were going off here in town. And as we were driving, it was very hard for me to keep that truck on the road and not be looking up in the sky saying, oh, look at that. Wow. Oh, cars were coming at me, and I was getting about half moon-eyed and couldn't see and looking at the fireworks. It was distracting. And the Spirit of God just said to me, that's what's going on right now. It's a lot of distractions, a lot of things popping up, a lot of things flying up, a lot of fireworks going off, a lot of this to keep you looking over here and that to keep you looking over here. But just keep your eyes on the road. Just keep your eyes focused. Just stay. You know what's true. You know what's right. Don't get deceived. Things aren't as bad as they look. Just hang on to your Bible and just keep knowing that it's, you know, it's the truth. It's okay. And just let it be the arrow that's pointing me down the road. And don't worry about everything else that's flying around. How's it all going to work out and all? I don't know. I just know it is. And I know this, though. My freedom that I experience and I walk in is not based solely upon how much comfort it can bring me. Because there can come a time in life that you have freedom, but you have to give up comfort to maintain that freedom. And it may not be comfortable for you to stand up amongst your friends and others and tell them to be quiet, quit talking like that, and this is what we're doing, and give them some direction and lead them. It may not be comfortable for you. It may not be the most in thing to do. Maybe times that you're convicted when you're around people and listen to what they're saying, And, you know, you don't really want to say anything, but you know you need to do it. But do it. We have freedom. So let's don't go back into bondage. And then there's people, you know, again, it's not like we're to throw up our hands and you know, run around screaming and hollering. But Maggie told me that they issued their first same-sex marriage license in Uvalde courthouse. So do you think it's not going to affect you? Folks, it's here. It's here. It ain't going to take long till we're all challenged. It ain't going to take long till somebody's going to walk through that door, challenge me. It ain't going to take long. It doesn't matter because I just know God's right. I know if I stand on His Word and stand where we're supposed to and keep leading people in the right direction, it's all going to work out. It's all going to work out. I'm not doing it. There's already two denominations that have already gone over and said that it's okay with them. They're going to stand behind same-sex marriage. So there's already been two major denominations go to that side. And it's, to me, it's like playing Red Rover. You know, it's whose side are you on? And it's going to be Red Rover, Red Rover. Come on over. Y'all with me? Or maybe it's like playing dodgeball. I don't know, you know. Whichever one it may be, you know. You know, I got to tell y'all and about something about me because, you know, I don't think I ever fought a fair fight in my life. I am always going to take, I want to win. So, you know, I'm just that kind of person. Forgive me. But I remember playing. Did y'all ever remember or ever have this experience of playing dodgeball in school if you played in the gym? And, you know, all our gyms today are a whole lot bigger than they were then. And they all, you know, the coach would put the balls out on the center line. And then, you know, everybody would get up against the wall. Then he'd say go, and you're supposed to run to try to get the ball. I'm not the guy that ran for the ball. Because there's always some yo-yo going to kick that ball. Am I right? And if you happen to be on the receiving end of a kicked ball headed at your face, you know, it hurts. So I always acted like I was going to run. And then I just kind of held back. Let them all sort it out, and then I'm ready to play. And that's kind of the position I'm taking right now. I'm not running towards the dodgeball. I'm just sitting back saying, okay, we're in this game, and I'm going to play it, but I'm going to be smart. I'm going to sit right back here and, you know, and going up there. So that's my position, if you want to know. But I'm just telling you, it's here. But I'm not giving up my freedom to fall back into bondage and hatred. I'm not giving up my freedom to fall back in anger over the whole situation. I'm just going to keep loving Jesus, just know that I'm right, stand on the Word, and go on. Amen? So, this morning is our Communion Sunday, and we're going to have communion this morning. And so what I ask you to do and what I challenge you to do is I think the Holy Spirit deals with each of us differently. I think each of us in our hearts we're in different places in life and different things in life. But today when we have communion, I just want to ask you this, to just ask the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom to be a light in this world. And when you're confronted or you're falling into any situation around you or people talking or whatever, that you have the wisdom of God to be salt and light in the midst of that situation. To be able to point people to the way, Jesus. Amen? And I believe that the Holy Spirit then will impart that into you and will bring you to that place that you need to be with Him. And you will be prepared for the dodgeball game of life. Amen? So can I have my pastoral team and my prayer team come down here this morning so I can serve them? They can help me serve you. If you're here today also, And it's your first time, you're a guest with us. Listen, we have an open communion service. If Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life, you're more than welcome to have communion with us. You can come down here and believe God for whatever's going on. We have our prayer team down here. If you need prayer, if you're sick in body or you've got something going on or a situation, our prayer team will be here to pray with you and believe God for miracles. Because we serve a God of miracles. Amen? We serve a God of miracles. On that night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Now take and eat, for this is my body which is broken for you." So Lord, today we come to have communion with you. Today we come, Lord, just to say that we want that strength and that understanding in our lives and that we can be salt and light in this world. And Lord, you took your body and you broke your body upon that cross for us. So today, Lord, we don't come to this communion table lightly. But we come today, Lord God, to partake of this bread, your body. And thank you that when we're broken, Lord, you always have a way to fix it. In Jesus' mighty name. And then afterwards, he took the cup and he said, "This cup's a new covenant. A new covenant that's poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of your sins." Folks, this is one of the greatest lights that we can hold up in life, that there is forgiveness of sin and there is healing in that forgiveness, so that a person doesn't have to be bound. A person doesn't have to be forever jailed in a prison, but they can be free from their sin. So Lord, we thank you that today you said that if we'd repent, that because of this blood we'd be forgiven. So we come before the throne of God today, Lord, and we thank you that as we bear our sins before you, that you forgive us, you wash us and you cleanse us, and Lord, you set us free. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.